Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Uninformed Gamers. I am one of your hosts, Chameleon or Chris, and I have with me these two wonderful, wonderful gentlemen. I've got Darkness Tiger, a.k.a. Devin.
That's me.
And I've got Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review, a.k.a.
Hey, what up?
So, what's been going on, boys?
Well, you know me. I am currently in a hotel room in not a third world country.
That's good.
In a much better city than I've currently been. This week, I am currently in Sao Paulo, Brazil. That is right behind me. You can see that there. And I am incredibly tired. I have been 14-hour days. And after my 14-hour days are done, they're like, hey, let's go to do a 2 to 3 hour dinner every night.
Damn.
Yep. And it's been funny because it's like I'm drained of energy. I'm tired. And I managed to accidentally give my company payback.
How so?
I've been tasked with choosing the restaurants, right? So I spend about an hour of my day just trying to translate menus and all these things, mm-hmm. make reservations and book them. So two nights ago, me and one of my coworkers made a reservation. It's usually four of us. Two didn't want to go. So me and two went. We went to our very first Michelin-starred restaurant.
Ooh.
Yes.
Fancy. How was it?
It was fantastic. It was a 9-course tasting.
Hell yeah.
With the 9-course, it had 7 wine and cocktails. So they would bring out a plate and they would bring out a wine that goes with it. The first one was a cocktail. So I think it was 7 wines and 1 cocktail. So very fancy, very hoity-toity, mm-hmm. very upscale. So when I looked at the menu and when I translated it, it said it's $300 reals per individual table. That's what it translated mm-hmm. as.
That's
so
not true though.
I'm under the impression that it's $300 for the table. And they said, it's going to be $50 for the cocktails or whatever. And I'm like,
okay. So was it like $300 per person?
Well, that's what I thought. So when we're enjoying our little tasting menus and everything and having a good time, just chatting, getting mm-hmm. progressively drunk, because again, we did 8 different drinks.
Makes sense.
At the end of it, I'm just like, all right, bring the La Junta and so we can cash out Carito and we can go. So when he brings the bill over, I'm thinking it's going to be maybe $400 max, which is like the equivalent of $80, which is enough for two people.
Yeah. Okay?
He says the check down in front of me was $1,300.
Sheesh.
So I'm sitting there in front of all these very wealthy people, and I am like, oop, I messed up.
That is funny. The translation was goofy.
Yeah. So apparently the word that did not translate was it's a $300 per individual at the table.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it was $90 for everyone for the cocktail tasting at the table.
Gotcha.
And so because it ended up being about $1,200 and I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, I am going to be in trouble for this.
Mm-hmm.
So with USD, the conversion is about $240.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad.
We're given about $35 for dinner.
Oh, shit.
So
yikes.
I broke the company card that day. And after we left out, I told my coworker and she just laughed and laughed and laughed because you take care of one dinner. I take care of the next. She mm-hmm. took care of an expensive dinner at the number one restaurant that I picked. I took care of the most expensive dinner at a Michelin starred restaurant.
Gotcha.
But I'm going to say this, after paying $1,300, Michelin star restaurants are cool if you're trying to impress somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the food was fine. It was okay. It was just one of the plates was just bread.
That better be some damn good bread.
It was damn okay bread.
You gotta pay that bread to get bread, right?
That's basically what it was. I'm sitting there and I'm just like, I need to eat all of this now.
Devin's just like, I'll make a rain out here.
I was making a rain with pennies and nickels.
Yeah, you're making it hail.
Yeah. What's been going on with you, Mason?
In terms of video gaming, just been playing a lot of Pokemon Violet on the Switch. That's been a lot of fun. I've got all the badges for one of the storylines that you can do in the game. So that was really cool and actually challenging. This is the first Pokemon game that I've actually felt challenged by. So that has been extremely refreshing. Even with like the software issues, I'm still having a good time. So that is a plus in my book, and I'm hoping next month when they release the next update, it resolves a lot of like the software issues that the game is still plagued with. So fingers crossed. Other than that, got new internet, so that is exciting. Switched to Spectrum from the terrible company BreezeLine. They're god awful.
What is BreezeLine?
I've never
heard of them.
They were formerly known as WoWWay or WoW Internet, and they were
wow. This is bad.
Yeah. So we had WoW, and they were great. Honestly, they no problems, speeds, uploads, everything, fan fucking tastic. Never had an issue. Had them for a long time, and then all of a sudden they get bought out, right, by this BreezeLine people, and ever since they got bought out, just been nothing but issues consistently. And the straw that broke the camel's back was they were having issues processing my like automatic payments that I had set up. And so I didn't think anything of it. And I'm just like, I thought the money was still being, you know, withdrawn or whatever, because it's all automatic. And then I get a call from them. They're like, oh, hey, we're about to shut your service off. I'm like, oh, why? They're like, oh, because you have an outstanding balance of over $300. I'm like, wow. Not eating. I'm like, excuse me? They're like, yeah, you haven't paid your bill in like 3-4 months. I'm like, that's not right, because I've got the automatic payments and everything. And they're like, oh, yeah, when we bought out WoWWay, it didn't transfer over the automatic payments. I'm like, oh, well, isn't that fucking convenient?
So, and they didn't tell you.
And they did not communicate that with me.
Where was your money going if the automatic payments were still coming out?
That I don't know.
Oh, I would go back and be like, yo, this has been scammed. Because the company bought out the place that was going, that your automatic debit was going to. So they were getting the money, just going in somebody's pocket.
Yeah, so I was pretty furious, understandably. And so I was like, all right, while I research new internet companies, I'll have them for like another month. And so I had them for like another month and then switched over to Spectrum. So I'm got the same speeds and everything, but I'm just paying a lot less.
Hey.
So I am very happy with paying a lot less and having better service. So.
Hell yeah. But yeah, I've never had a problem with Spectrum. They were usually pretty reliable.
Yeah, I had them before I moved into my house. You know, my wife and I had it in our apartments that we were living in, and the connection and everything was fine. It's just the customer service aspect was what was lacking.
Yeah, I can see that.
So that's why we got WoWWay when we moved to our house, because we're like, oh, don't want to deal with Spectrum.
That's fair.
But now I'm back. But other than that, that's been me mainly. Just catching up on like shows, movies. I want to save this to the reviews portion of the episode, but I ended up seeing The Whale with Brendan Fraser.
Oh, cool.
Can't wait.
Awesome.
So we can save that till later.
All right. Very Chris, cool. What's been going on your end?
Yeah, on the gaming stand front. So, Devin, you're going to hate me.
Uh-oh.
I tried Mass Effect. I can't stand the movement, so I uninstalled.
Oh, no.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
You hate it.
The movement is awful.
No.
It is.
Like, for a remaster, why didn't they fix it? Like,
because if you fixed it too much, people wouldn't have bought it. Because it would have changed the entire dynamic.
They pulled the GTA.
It was in line with the original, because I remember Devin playing the original and
yeah.
That. And I tried it, and I was like, I got through a couple missions. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I just can't. This character just doesn't move right. I don't like this. And it was, it kind of sucks because the story was interesting. I wanted to see where it was going to go, but I could not deal with, I'm going to have to move this character.
Yeah.
This entire three games or however many games there are. There's three.
One might have a stepchild.
Yeah, and I was like, I can't do it. I'm done. I'm out.
Deuces.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
It definitely was that. What else have I been up to? I started Plague Tale Requiem.
Oh, nice.
That's been really cool. Really love the story, love the characters. I just really like the aspects of that game. I finished a game over like last month. I just can't remember what it was.
That's fair.
I truly forget what it was, but if it comes to my head, I'll
that's how you know it was good.
I don't know what it was, dude. Like, I was like, I know I beat a game.
must have not been memorable.
I know I beat Pentiment. I finally beat Pentiment.
Did you? Nice.
Yeah, it took way longer than I thought.
It took you like 20 hours.
Yeah.
Let me think. Outside of that, I've just been still playing Call of Duty here and there, and then Fall Guys, because it's still
really... Yeah, Fall Guys is Fall Guys.
I don't know, Chris. The first and last time I played... Fall Guys was with you, and yeah. I'm gonna be honest with you, I thought it was fine. I thought it was okay. Mm-hmm. That's the reason for me to go back.
Get on with me sometime and you'll be like, okay, I get it. So I play the game like a troll. I am that
kid. Yeah, I do too. I push people off left and right.
I'm looking to grab someone, mm-hmm, and get them to fall off the ledge, because I know they're probably screaming at their TV.
Oh, yeah.
So I played it just, I don't even care if I win. If I've knocked at least one or more people off that game, I had a great game.
Yep.
but play with me sometime. I'll show you the ropes. I'll show you the ignorance that I do.
Bet.
Outside of that, I've been watching a lot of anime and I've watched the movie Black Widow first time.
Oh, nice.
It was good.
What anime have you been watching?
I am caught up currently on Blue Lock out of your recommendation.
Hell yeah.
It is pretty damn good.
Such a good show. Such a good show.
I also started that anime that Devin, you sent a video for.
What was it called? Like something of Kingdom, or
I couldn't possibly tell you, but in the TikTok, this like old man shoots this arrow, and he shoots the arrow over the mountain and hits like the smallest little aspect, and you're thinking, oh, this guy is the baller of this show. Yeah, he hands the bow to a young kid who was just like, here, you got to do it, and the young kid aims high, and the old guy looks at him and is just like, oh, well, you clearly don't know how to do this, you're so undisciplined, and the kid is just like, well give it a minute. And it goes all the way around the earth and then easily explodes the mountain.
Yep.
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 Sounds pretty anime to me.
What is
the
this
daily
anime
life
about?
Of the immortal king?
The daily life of the immortal king. Very much reminds me of this show called, Misfit of the Demon King Academy.
Love that one.
Such a great fucking show. Highly recommend watching it if you haven't. It has the absolutely best Giga Chad ever in any anime in existence by the name of Anos Vodigold. And what he does to kill somebody is just so fucking great. He just does it to fucking flex, right?
Yes.
He kills this motherfucker with his own heartbeat.
Yes, I remember that.
Like, he's such a fucking Chad. And then what he does to add insult to injury is he kills him, resurrects him and just keeps on killing him over and over and over and over and over again until he mentally breaks this guy's fucking mind. And the guy's just like, no, stop, don't, not anymore. Yeah,
he was through.
Oh, it's such a, he's such a fucking Chad. I love it. But it got a season two, and I want to say it's out now or it's coming out very soon. Awesome. So keep your eyes peeled for those listening, or if you haven't watched it, watch it, and you'll be happy you did. It's a fun show. It is a fun show.
Yes, I remember the game I finished. Return to Monkey Island.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah! Cool. Let's go.
All right, so let's get into our topics today.
And yes.
Our first topic is one that we are seeing consistently across the board, and that has to do with layoffs.
Yeah.
Now we knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
We all knew it was coming. They said that a recession is on the way. The Fed said, basically the Federal Reserve said, hey, we're going to start seeing cuts because people are making too much money, this, that, and the other thing. So when that happened, they're like, oh, okay, just a couple little layoffs here and there. Well, so far, as of 2023, take a guess at how many companies have done layoffs.
Thousands. I would guess in the thousands as well.
Well, it's going to definitely be in the thousands, but we're talking like major, major companies, like major tech companies.
Mm-hmm.
Six?
Nope. A little bit more than that.
Double digits? Or yep. Triple digits?
Double digits.
I'll say 50?
Nope, a little bit less than that. Okay. We're talking about 17 major companies.
Oh, okay.
The first being Google, which is going to be laying off 12,000 employees. Which
yeah,
is not
I remember number. seeing that article.
Yeah, I think that's 6%. And basically it's because they expanded so much during the pandemic that they needed to retract from that. So they're going to be laying off about 6% of its global workforce.
Now, was that a part of their Alphabet division?
Yes.
Okay.
Which Alphabet owns Google, so all of that across the board. And luckily for the Google employees, I did hear they're going to be getting 4 months of severance.
Oh, and I wanted that's to say good.
8 months of like health insurance.
Hell yeah. So they should be able to, you know, land on their feet, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those are going to be some of the best like people in the business.
Oh yeah. I mean, yep. Their resumes are probably stacked.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
I know the company, Jaguar Land Rover, they basically said that if you're going to get laid off from a tech company, we will hire you instantly.
Nice.
That's fair. I mean, because cars nowadays have so much computer stuff in them.
Yep.
I mean, you're going to need engineers. Mm-hmm. Engineers, so
yep.
Why not?
And the CEO of Land Rover, they actually said that one of the things they want to start working on is making their cars more reliable. And everybody says a Range Rover is an electrical nightmare.
Is it really?
It is an unreliable vehicle. I believe Car and Driver actually had a long-term Land Rover Aviator.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the car was fine when it worked, and it was always haunted by electrical gremlins that was never figured out.
Yeah, I remember our Uncle Derek, he had a Range Rover too, always in the shop.
Always in the shop. My cousin Ernie had one. He said when he sold it was the best decision he ever made because it was only ever in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
I say this as my BMW's got to go to the shop when I get back home. But all right. The next company was Vox Media, which is the parent company of publications like Vox, The Verge, and New York Magazine, laying off 7% of its staff.
That makes sense.
Capital One, laying off more than 1,100 workers.
Oh, wow.
WeWork, laying off about 300 people. Wayfair, more than 1,000 employees, about 5% of its workforce.
That's pretty significant.
And one of the bigger ones, Microsoft, with 10,000 workers to be cut by the third quarter of this year. But real quick sidebar about this one. I thought this one was the most.
Yeah.
Because you know what they did the day before they announced those 10,000 layoffs?
Didn't they hired like what, 4,000 people?
They hired 4,000 people, but the day before, the executives were actually in I want to say Sweden with doing a private concert with Sting to, I guess, celebrate their success.
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah,
that's wild.
There was this big thing about the executives were like made a posting that they were like in Sweden for like some major Davos event,
and yeah, they yeah,
yeah, have a concert with Sting and having celebrating so much great success, and the next day they announced 10,000 layoffs.
Hey, let's circle jerk each other and then fuck our employees. Sounds about right.
I know Microsoft is working on these HoloLenses, but you would think that they would be able to see the optics and how bad the situation looked, but apparently not.
Yeah, that's slimy.
The next one being Crypto.com laying off 20% of its staff.
Good.
I don't know about people.
I mean, that one I like.
I mean, I hate crypto. I mean, sucks about those people, but I hate crypto. Like, I'm sorry that the people that work for them lost their jobs. I do sympathize with them, but I do not sympathize with crypto, like, at all.
Right. I don't care for it. I don't money launder, so it's not really for me.
Yeah.
BlackRock is going to be laying off 3% of its global workforce, which is about 500 jobs. The next one is Goldman Sachs, laying off 6.5% of its global workforce, about 3,200 jobs just lost.
Sheesh.
Oh, we're not done. BNY Mellon, who I've never heard of.
Yeah, never heard of them.
Verify, which is part of Alphabet, is reportedly 15% of its workers have lost their jobs.
15?
15%, which is their healthcare unit.
Jesus.
DirecTV, 10% of its management staff.
Okay.
Yeah, management.
Damn.
They thought they were safe.
Yeah.
Coinbase, 950 workers. Amazon, 18,000 employees.
Wow.
After they hired all those people for them jobs.
For the holidays. Yep, for the holidays. That the Amazon bit makes sense to me because I'm assuming they laid off like the holiday crew. Because after Black Friday, after Christmas, after the New Year, they're not as busy and they don't need those bodies anymore. So that doesn't surprise me.
Well, you would be surprised to discover that the layoffs are actually in the corporate groups. Not
really?
Wow.
Wow.
18,000 of its workers are being cut from corporate, while the 1.5 million staff that warehouses jobs appear to be untouched.
That's, wow. I am shocked.
We're not done.
Yeah, that's actually very shocking.
We're not done. Next thing you know, we have 10% of the Salesforce staff, which includes about 7,000 employees.
Wow.
Everlane, 17% of its corporate employees. Vimeo, 11% of its workforce. Compass, they said they're doing layoffs. They have not announced the size of their layoffs. Stitch Fix, 20% of its employees. And the list goes on and on. What do you think is spurring this? Why do you think all these companies have decided now is the time before the recession comes? Let's lay off all these people that we hired.
So I can actually speak to this because I work in the tech industry, as you know.
Yeah.
So my company also as well experienced layoffs. I wasn't affected by it, but I know a few people that were. So what happened was a lot of these tech industries in the COVID time period, they experienced like a boom.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling like way over their goals for that year.
Yeah.
They're like, oh shit, okay, we're really picking up. This is going to continue into the next year and the next year and the next year. Well, then that didn't happen. So they projected their goals like they're going up, 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 up. But then when they went more like that little bit, like up, but not as much as they anticipated, they had hired all of these different people. Well, because you're not hitting that original goal that you set, you have to make cuts to make sure that you don't like to correct the path of what you were originally on. Like, so like right now we're in a better spot after the layoffs,
but
only time will tell if we'll fully correct really. And I'm sure that's the case with a lot of these companies.
Yeah.
They're trying to get back to a spot where they're comfortable again with doing business and not worrying. All right, are we making enough to like get to keep the doors open or whatnot. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of what's going on right now.
Imagine though, you worked hard, you went to school, you did your program, you did your internships, you get a job at Google, they lay you off, and then you go over to Amazon and they lay you off too.
Well, that would suck.
I would be very demoralized, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, at least I go to Microsoft.
Oh wait.
On one side, it's very sad because I don't want anybody to lose their jobs, especially at a time like this when everybody's doing layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these jobs are going to be, I don't know if I want to say a lot, but I know a good portion of these jobs are very high paying jobs.
Yes.
Sure.
And I know a lot of these jobs are, a lot of people who are making this kind of money will probably be able to go somewhere else and make this kind of money.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully.
Hopefully. The competition is going to be so stiff because you've got 10,000 Google employees, 12,000 12,000 Google, 10,000 Microsoft, and 18,000 Amazon employees all fighting for
these spots. Yeah,
yeah,
You are right. It's going to be very competitive.
It's going to be very competitive. If you have Google on your resume, that means nothing for them. You're officially a dime a dozen.
Yeah. Yeah, you used to before, if they saw Google on your resume, they'd be like,
okay. They're like, yeah, let's hire this dude.
We gotta throw whatever at this dude.
Yeah, now that if they see Google on your resume, they're like, oh, he's gonna get laid off.
There's 20 more of them with the resumes out as well. So I don't know. Like, on one hand, I'm glad we're on the East Coast. And so, like, there will be more jobs that, like, may not hear of on the West Coast, because a lot of those companies are West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope at least those East Coasters are able to get stuff a little bit sooner, because like I said, I had some friends and stuff that were affected by the layoffs on our side. But yeah, I do hope that everyone ends up getting another new gig and get something they're happy with and able to like build a nice career out of and, you know, and retire at a decent age.
Absolutely. Good luck to you guys. I wish you the very best.
Yeah, definitely.
You're in our thoughts. But let's change the topic to a little bit of something. Let's talk about movies.
Yes.
Do you guys like the Scream franchise?
I do.
I think it's a good level of.
They're solid. They're solid. Yeah.
They're campy. They don't ever take themselves too seriously.
And no.
For the most part, they're enjoyable. I took Ian, Chris, to see Scream 5, and it was fun. It was fun. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with it. And the trailer for Scream 6 just came out.
Yep.
And I have to say, this looks badass.
It does. It'll be hopefully a better attempt at a serial killer in New York. Anything is better than Jason in the city. You know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
Yeah.
No.
Because that came out. Long time ago, I know I'm dating myself here, but when Jason was in Manhattan, that this it did not translate well, and it just was a pretty bad freaking movie, honestly. So hopefully they learned their lesson from that. Different franchise with Scream, obviously.
Yeah.
And based on the trailer, it seems whomever this Scream is has some new tricks up their sleeve. Because in a lot of the films, he typically just relies on, little stabby stabby.
Yeah, to see that Scream, that Ghostface has a gun.
Yeah. That's
part of the trailer is that Ghostface gets a gun. And I'm like, oh, this is different.
Yeah, that's very different. You don't really see that a lot with a lot of like slasher flicks or like serial killer films. You don't see the antagonist or the enemy with a gun, really.
Yeah, because a lot of these serial killer films, it's the up close and personal.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Surprise. Like I know with Michael Myers, it's like, oh, he's in the closet. With Jason, oh, he's just around the bush. With Freddy, oh, he's probably somewhere in your dreams. You never expect any of these to have guns because like that's not a close and intimate.
But no.
if you watch the Scream 6, keep in mind it's very graphic on this trailer. Like wasn't expecting that. There is a situation where they're in a convenience store and Ghostface has a gun, a shotgun.
Yep.
Yeah.
And when I first saw that scene, it actually was a little bit triggering because it reminds me of those situations where you're living your daily life and it's all of a sudden you have a random shooter.
Mm-hmm. It definitely, this one gave off, and it's terrible to say, it gave off very realistic vibes because unfortunately in the United States, we live every day with the threat of random shootings and sure. Nothing is ever done about it.
It
never will be.
Yeah.
And I think that's what
it's an unfortunate fact.
I think what's really interesting is that now that I've been going back and forth to Brazil, apparently they don't have a gun problem here because apparently that's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is surprising how massive this country is and how rural this country is. They don't mm-hmm. have a gun problem. And one of the things I was thinking about doing this weekend, but I couldn't afford it, was going to Rio de Janeiro for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. The reason I couldn't afford it is because the 1 hour plane ticket is $800.
Oh. So,
yeah, US.
US dollars?
Yes, US dollars.
That's a lot.
And my coworker said, oh, well, if you're going to go to Rio, just make sure you're careful. It's a very dangerous city. And I said, I do not think it is. He said, no, that's what I've always heard, how dangerous it is. So I looked up the violent crime statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they said out of 100,000 people, 20 people are likely to be a victim of violent crime, right?
20?
Yeah.
Out of 100,000?
Yeah. That's
yeah, that's low. Yeah, that's very low.
I want to say it was like 25, which is people. Here's what it is: Chicago, Chris, is 32.
Hmm. Right. That also seems low.
Yeah. Right. I want to say like Cleveland was like 27.
I wonder what Detroit was.
I want to say Detroit was like 40. New Orleans was, I want to say, was like 45, and Memphis was like 42. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, Rio de Janeiro is safer than Cleveland.
I mean, that makes sense.
It depends on the part of Cleveland.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're just looking at East Cleveland, there is no safe part in East
Cleveland.
If you have to get gas at East Cleveland, just get an Uber and just go home.
Yeah, yeah. That, or if you're on like West 6th Street, like forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
So like the level of danger here for me has been very different because they're like, oh, well, that's a dangerous area. And I'm like, I'm from Cleveland. This is not dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about somebody pulling it.
So brief tangent. I don't know if you guys have seen this. I've certainly seen it more recently. I don't know if it's like a new meme trend or what. But for some reason, Ohio is like becoming more and more popular as a like a butt end of the joke for like memes. Have you guys seen this recently? Absolutely. Like it seems like there's an uptick in like the funniest one that I saw was about The Last of Us that is now on HBO Max, right? So I saw this funny meme. It had the image, right, of The Last of Us TV show, and it said, oh, this is just Ohio simulator.
Yes, I have seen a lot of those memes. I love them.
I was like, yeah, pretty accurate.
Remember the Elden Ring one of that?
Oh, yeah, with Kaled.
Yeah. And it just says Cleveland.
Yep.
It's literally just it's just a image of this part of the map. It is just a red area.
Mm-hmm.
And normally it would say Kaled over the top of it, and it just said Cleveland.
This area in Elden Ring is notorious for just being like infected and like just it's like riddled with plague. It's just terrible.
That's funny.
DJ Khaled's land.
Yeah, on TikTok, it's become like a running joke. Like whenever there's a flood, they're like a typical day in Ohio.
Yep.
And I'm like, all right.
I get it. I mean, even Ohioans hate Ohio, so I get it.
We do. It's awful.
We're very self-deprecating.
Oh, yeah. Very much true. But Mason, you have this next story for us.
Yeah, a bit of an update in regards to the ongoing, I'll say drama, regarding the open license agreement by Wizards of the Coast / Hasbro and Dungeons & Dragons. They did finally release a statement after about a week of public outcry, and they said basically the update, the TLDR, too long didn't read, of it is, oh, it's going to be delayed, the OGL update is going to be delayed while we figure out a way to basically appease the fan base, more or less. They didn't realize how harmful they were being by asking to, get like 25% in royalties from small content creators and 20% from small Kickstarter creators. No, they didn't see that. And they also didn't realize that saying, oh, we can change the contents of this agreement at any point in time and only give you 30 days notice. No, they didn't see that as an issue either. But so now, after the public outcry, they saw the damage they were being dealt financially, because a lot of folks banded together and were canceling their D&D Beyond subscriptions, which affects their bottom line quite significantly. And so they're like, oh, okay, huh. Maybe they do have a point.
So what cracks me about the story is, if no one said anything,
They would have just kept on going with it. 100%. 100% they would have. No one
said literally anything at all.
And what's fucked up too is with their update there, it was pretty tone deaf as well. They were making themselves out to be the victims.
I read those lines. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I was just like, they, in a sense, the statement that they did was like gaslighting the entire community.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was so nuts, dude. Like, I'm trying to remember another snippet from this new update. I'm trying to recall. Oh, the one thing I remember is they were referring to like smaller content creators as large corporations.
Yeah. If you guys
I don't think they understand what the definition of a corporation is.
They don't care.
No. They're referring to like Bob Joe Schmo, the small YouTuber or small Kickstarter company, as a corporation. And it's just like, no, you are a corporation.
Whatchamacallit, on one of the statements that said, thank you for caring enough to let us know what works and what doesn't, what you need and what scares you.
What scares you, yeah, right? That right there, what the hell?
That's whoever wrote that. Again, no one in corporate America ever thinks about the word optics.
No, hey guys, they never do. But yeah, essentially that's the update with the OGL. Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro's main competitor, Paizo, who does this game called Pathfinder, released a clapback, more or less, called the ORC, which is like the Open Role Playing. I forget what the acronym is, but they released their own thing where it's they're like, oh, hey, guess what? In response to this nonsense that Wizard and Hasbro is doing, we will release our own open license agreement that will be irrefutable and perpetual, and everything is free for you.
That's competition. That's competition.
So, and they received so much applause and support, and so many people are now jumping ship to Pathfinder. And what's really funny about this is the guy who worked on the legal team for Wizards of the Coast that made the original open license agreement is now working for Paizo.
That's funny.
So Paizo, this is a prime moment.
Oh yeah.
Capitalize. Yeah. What I would love to see them do is to make their game easier to play.
Yeah. Because I actually started with Pathfinder. I started learning tabletop RPGs via Paizo, via Pathfinder. It is a fun game, very similar to D&D, but it is very complicated.
It's technical.
Yeah, it's so very, technical. Very, very technical. They simplify it just a hair, that'd be golden.
Yeah, make the combat rules simple.
Yeah,
I'm like, I read some of those combat rules. I was like, wait,
What?
You have to do all this math just to like see if you hit somebody.
Yeah.
No, thanks. I'm good.
It's very convoluted. That's for sure. And then we've got another update with the whole crypto zoo fiasco and Logan Paul. He finally issued a apology video, quote unquote, to what's his name, CoffeeZilla, who made the expose about crypto zoo. And I say quote unquote apology because it's not really a good apology, to be honest. Yes, he does actually say, "Hey, I'm sorry," to CoffeeZilla, and he does apologize to his fan base and his supporters, but it's kind of like a empty apology, if you ask me, because he basically released three other responses to this fiasco that were very harsh and negative and accusatory and inflammatory towards this CoffeeZilla guy. Now, he even said that he would sue him. And now all of a sudden, because so many people are, you know, against him, he's just like, "Oh, okay, well, maybe I should change my tune." So it's just like, are you genuinely apologetic, no, Logan? I don't think so.
Like,
he's just trying to save face.
I don't know what anybody else expected from him.
No, I don't either.
Why anyone expected an authentic, "Hey, I messed up. This is entirely on me. I backed a product that I could not see through. I'm going to make sure every single one of you guys get your money back. And I wish to extend the sincerest apologies, and I will do better going in the future to build a platform that I truly believe in the NFT and the crypto space." That was not hard.
Nope. And what's messed? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. The fact that he does three different responses and two of them being inflammatory, it tells me you don't care.
No. And what's really crazy about this new apology and how he's going to give back to his fans is he's dedicating only $1.3 million to current crypto zoo holders, but not the original people who have sold. So the victims who actually sold, he's not going to help those people out at all. And it's only $1.3 million that he's dedicating.
Well, if you need a uninformed gamer's top tip, don't buy anything Logan Paul is selling you.
Yes, there is. For those listening, if you are a victim of the crypto zoo scam, there is a content creator that will be taking clients. I forget his name off the top of my head, but he's a pretty popular attorney that is on YouTube, and he's actually doing a class action lawsuit against Logan Paul. I'm trying to remember his name off the top of my head, but I can't for the life of me. Maybe we can look it up while we're recording this. Who knows? But if you're a victim, Google it, contact this guy, and he will represent you.
All right. Well, speaking of social influencer videos, to close
this out,
last night, I don't get home until after 10 o'clock from work. I leave at 8 a.m., get back after 10 p.m. And so I don't have a whole lot of time to really do much. So I'll usually turn on YouTube and watch a 5-minute video, 10-minute video before I go to bed, just so I can say I've done something. Well, one of the people that I watch who makes routine videos, I'm not going to put their name out there because, I don't know if I'm going to continue watching them after this, but they posted a video and the video said, "I'm done."
Okay.
And I was kind of surprised because this was a younger guy, a little bit older than us. I think Chris, right around your age. And I click on it because I'm thinking, I'm curious as to why. I know that they had just gotten married. They had a kid. Maybe they're like, "Hey, life has gotten too much. I can't keep this up." So I turn on the video and the first 5 minutes is him thanking the fans for his success. Mm-hmm. He says, "I want to thank you guys. You guys have supported me so, so much." And I'm thinking, okay, click, 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 click forward. I want to know why you're done. So I click forward to the 10-minute mark and he's still thanking people, saying that, "Oh, without you guys, I would not have created so many different things and I would not have been able to afford all these cars and buy these houses and get married and buy my dream house." And I'm thinking, okay, what's the point? And at the 11, somewhere around the 11-minute mark, he starts doing an ad for Upstart.
Wait, what?
He starts doing a promotional ad for the company Upstart.
That's weird.
And I'm like, okay, that's strange. And then he starts talking about his mental health, about how he's not been able to get his mental health under control, mm-hmm. Because he's just so overwhelmed with things. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, you have McLarens, you have Ferraris, you have your dream home, you have a beautiful wife, you have a kid, you make all these videos, you travel across the world, you literally have access that nobody else has. And you're complaining about your mental health and not being able to get out of bed. And I'm not saying, oh, mental health problems are not real. That's not true. I'm just saying you don't have the platform to really say, oh, I'm struggling getting out of bed. Mm-hmm. The reason you have all this is because you have to make these videos.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, you know what? And I'm starting to think to myself, I'm like, you know what? Maybe he really does suffer from these issues. Maybe I should be more supportive. So while I'm watching this and while I'm waiting for him to get to the point of like, what is the specific reason for him to say he's done and what does that mean? I just click on the description to see maybe he posted in the description of the video what it was. Guess what I found in the description of the video?
What's that?
Links to merch.
That.
And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, this is the most inauthentic thing I have ever seen in my life. And I go to the comments thinking like, okay, somebody's going to call this guy a sham. And everybody's like, oh, you really need to step back. We fully understand. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a real thing. Like, your videos help me get through my divorce. And I'm like, you guys, he is literally selling to you in his video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's literally.
And he's going to post more doing the same
thing. Oh, yeah.
He's going to post tomorrow and completely unrelated. And he's just going to continue selling to you. He needed this video to show, hey, I'm human too. Go to Upstart, use my promo code. It really helped me get through these dark times. And I'm thinking, we have reached.
Sounds like a scammer.
Yes. We have reached the epitome of social media influencers who try to level themselves to us so that that way they can make more money.
Yeah. There's this, that kind of reminds me of another social influencer that was kind of scamming his viewers in a way. I forget his name off the top of my head. It was like Boogie Pop or some nonsense like that. Mm-hmm. But he did it something very similar where he was like, oh my God, I'm like financially crippled and blah, 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 blah. And he's a pretty huge channel. Like, no, I think he has like maybe close to 5 million subscribers. Yeah. So he's no larger channel, obviously. So he has money. Like, people that have over a million are pretty well off on YouTube.
Yeah.
And this guy made a video saying, hey, I need to ask you for money. Like, he was like asking money from his fans after, you know, having a recordable history of being poor with money that he got from his fans. It's just so weird.
I really find it even weirder when like you see these YouTubers who you know are wealthy, who are like taking trips to Bali. Oh, I just bought my girlfriend a McLaren. Oh, right. We're going to do this $10,000 plane ticket to go and visit France or some shit like that. And then they'll like make comments like, oh, I won't be able to, this is so expensive. I can't afford this. I only spend $4 for lunch. I can't afford any more than that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, stop acting like you don't have money. We know you do. The content in which you post tells us you have money. You have a house, a wealthy house in San Diego. You have a 5-bedroom, 4-bath, 1-acre property in San Francisco. Where the fuck did you find a free acre in San Francisco?
And like, and to circle back to Logan Paul as well, like, he and his team act like they don't have money to help their fans, but they're like bathing in money.
Literally.
So it's just like, they're so unbelievably cheap. It is insane.
I don't
even though they are very wealthy.
I don't watch Mr. Beast, but Mr. Beast does not act like he doesn't have money. He's like, I literally have too much money.
No, yeah. And at least with him, he's a philanthropist.
Yeah, But I also thought about it earlier, and I thought about this when I was on my way to work. I don't know why I was thinking about Mr. Beast on my way to work. How did he never, we'll talk about this later. I'm just curious, how did he get all of his money? Considering the only way I know him is him giving away his money.
Bitcoin.
Well, he got a lot of his money from YouTube just over time, and every single video, like, he makes a lot from his videos and then reinvests that money into other videos, and just, it's just like rinse and repeat cycle of him just getting a lot of money and then just putting it back into the business. There's an interview on it on Forbes that where he actually goes into it in a lot more detail. It is actually pretty interesting to kind of hear about the intricacies of how he manages his wealth.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's the one also. He was one of the original, like, he was one of those early investors in the Bitcoin.
Yeah. And he probably was too.
He threw all his money, and he told his mom to throw in a ton of her money as well. And then they got to that point, that boom spot, and they sold, and they made a incredible amount of money that we don't know.
Do you guys want to know? I just Googled net worth. You got take a guess what a Mr. Beast net worth is.
It's close to a billion now.
Yep. There's some saying that it could be worth up to 1.5 billion. Mm-hmm. Net worth at 100 million.
No, that does make sense, because he is most likely going to be the first YouTube billionaire. Probably.
That's good for him. He's got 100 million subscribers.
And I will say in his defense, he, you know, is good to the community, or at least he gives off that persona, and he does give back. Like, he doesn't appear to be slimy.
Nope.
So I will give him that. But again, like you said, Devin, like, his content isn't really for me.
Nope.
Yeah.
But you know, I do respect that he does, you know, give back. So, but the attorney that I was talking about, his name is YouTuber Attorney Tom. So if you Google YouTube Attorney Tom and get his information, and if you're a victim, you know, you can do that. And then, since we're on the topic of social influencers, we can touch on how Twitch has banned the very popular Twitch streamer Mizkif.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with him at all, but he is one of the founding members of OTK, whom I want to say Asmongold is a part of as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
I want to say Asmongold is affiliated with the OTK brand, but I don't know off the top of my head. I don't really follow that sort of thing. All I know is that Mizkif, he did return to Twitch, but then, you know, got banned.
Good. If you're getting banned from Twitch, you probably deserve it.
And I don't know. I don't know why he got banned.
Oh, I can tell you why.
why did he get banned? Oh yeah, so yeah, OTK is comprised of Asmongold and this other person named Soda Poppin.
So if Mizkif is who I think he is,
yeah,
it got found out that he was basically he didn't turn over information about another streamer that he was very close with,
mm-hmm.
Sexually assaulting.
Oh fuck.
People, Mizkif knew about it.
Yeah. And he didn't say anything.
Exactly. He tried to like help
hide it. Yeah. Ooh, yikes.
I'm pretty sure that was Mizkif.
Yeah. But yeah, he's banned.
Good. If you need an uninformed gamer's top tip, don't cover up sexual assault.
No.
Don't be a social influencer who talks about your mental health and then sells products in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's going to complete this episode. Before we go, I do want to say, if you were expecting our TikTok video last time, the problem was the and Chris, if you can see the video this time, look at Chris. Look at him.
And then look at me because my audio didn't pick up.
So what had happened was we couldn't post on YouTube or TikTok. Mm-hmm. Mason, Chris, for some reason, I don't know what I'm not going to blame Chris. For some reason, when Chris created the room, the video did not record.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Mason was able to record the video, but somehow Mason did not record himself.
Yeah, so I was recording through OBS and I completely forgot to toggle the audio pickup for my headset, but it was picking up my desktop audio, just not my headset.
This is truly the uninformed gamers because we don't know how to work a camera.
Yeah. Technology is the bane of our existence, apparently.
What's so funny is I test websites for a living and I didn't know how to work the damn website. what was so weird about it was it showed our videos, but it did not record our video.
Yeah.
It recorded our audio, which is not the video. I don't know.
It's so stupid. But if you see this video, you're welcome. Hopefully. I took care of it. If not, it's Chris's fault.
Nope. I have no affiliation with this video.
Nope. This one is entirely mine. So thank you guys so much for joining us for the second episode of the year. We will catch you next time. You guys know me. I am Darkness Tiger. You can find me controlling the Twitter page at Uninformed Gamers. You can also find me at TikTok at Uninformed Gamers. And if you want to play with me, you can find me at Darkness Tiger at Xbox. And apparently I have not been on the PlayStation Live Network for so long that apparently I never even had a subscription for it.
Oh.
I had a free trial and I just gave that up because I'm like, I don't use this.
Yeah.
All right, guys, go ahead and do your sign-offs.
Yeah, I am Chameleon. You can find me on Twitter at Chameleon Games. It's the best place to reach me right now.
And I am Rad Dreams with Rad Dreams Review on YouTube. You can find me there, or you can find me on Twitch with Rad_Dreams. And before we sign off, make sure, if you are an anime fan, to check out Crunchyroll.com because they're doing their anime awards. And the voting ends in roughly a week. So make sure if you are a fan and you want your vote to count, cast your vote.
Hell yeah.
All right. We'll catch y'all later. Bye.
Later.
Peace.